On this episode of the Vegan Chub Club podcast, it's season three, baby. We're back, we're here, we're queer, and we have some fears. Eden and Joelle talk about feeling caught in between a gay and a straight place, our deep love for Lizzo, plus size women in Sports Illustrated, and we take a very sensitive question from one of our followers. If you like the Vegan Chub Club and you want to see us grow, give us a follow on Instagram, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and so much more. And don't forget to share us with a friend. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vegan Chub Club podcast, season three. First episode.
We're off to a strong start this season, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in between. We are here.
We are here. We are queer. We have no fear and of bikinis.
Yeah, and we're gonna drink some beer.
And yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. What a way to start the season.
And troll tears.
Oh, that's a t-shirt.
Wow. I drink troll tears.
I drink troll tears. That is a t-shirt right there if I ever heard one. Hi, everybody. I'm Joelle. Do they even know who we are?
No. I am Eden Jax, most places on the internet.
I am Joelle, the Bopo vegan, Joelle, Joelletail, Joellian. And other things out here on the internet, folks. And we're here again. Thanks for waiting and being patient, because we know you're like obsessed with us, and like some of you, like,
why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah, you're so obsessed with us. Some of you, somebody said in a comment, and I was like crying over this comment, but they were like, I purposely don't listen on time because I want to binge listen. I was like, that is adorable. Who likes listening to me? Like, it's actually so wild, because like, I'm not an influencer. I don't have, you know, I have a YouTube channel, but I have like 9 subscribers. Shout out to you guys. But like, you know, I'm not used to this, Eden. Like, it's so crazy to me that people want to hear what I have to say, and then people are like sharing pictures of me on their story and stuff, and I'm just like, me? Like, you know, like I heard some people saying like their routine is just like listening to us while they're doing laundry, or, you know, on their commute, or like while they're winding down for the day, it's what they look forward to. And I'm like, that's what I do with like Shane Dawson and like Peter Mon or whoever. And it's just like crazy. Like, wow, I'm part of your routine. Like, I'm not trying to brag right now. I'm just like really humbled. Like, that's insane to me that people like listening to me. Wow. Thank you, guys.
And the obsession is mutual. Mm-hmm. We are equally as obsessed with you all. Yeah. We're just an obsessed bunch here. And also, I sing that Mariah Carey song to Nicole all the time, because she always has to be like fur to skin contact. Aww. So I always sing Mariah Carey, "Why Are You So Obsessed?" anytime.
Oh my God.
She follows me into the bathroom.
Oh, Gertie does that to me too.
Yeah. Anyhow, longest intro of life. How was your week, Joelle Tail?
My week was pretty good. Getting ready for summer, making lots of delicious food, you know, that kind of stuff. Working hard, hardly working. Saving animals.
Saved a lizard.
Yeah. Oh my God. I said that and then I forgot what happened. So you guys, this is like traumatic. I'm not going to get into it too much. And if you don't, I won't give you too many details, but basically there was a lizard who was chopped in half in my backyard the other day. And it was like the first thing I did, I woke up in the morning to let my dogs out. And then like, I saw what I thought was like a decapitated snake head in my backyard. And I was like, what? And I started freaking out. And then I looked closer and it was what I thought was a dead lizard. Long story short, as I was trying to respectfully dispose of the lizard's body, I found out he was still alive. So I called the emergency animal number that I have. If you guys, it's a national number. So if you guys ever want it, DM me. It's been really helpful to me. And they told me what to do, and they triaged and they called a vet for me and got them to, they convinced them to let me bring the lizard there for free. Usually they like charge you. So they took the lizard in and they euthanized him. But the poor little guy was suffering so much, you guys. Oh my God. I couldn't even believe he was alive. He was chopped in half.
Man.
So, I mean, I saved him from his suffering. Wow, what a bummer, dude.
Way to bring it down, Joelle. Way
Anyways,
to bring it
down. How was your week, Eden?
Not as down as Joelle. Basically, I'm going to California in, I guess, like a week now. Maybe like a week and a half. And luckily, Joelle told me that you don't need a passport to fly within the U.S.
Can I just interrupt? Eden was talking to me, and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might have to drive to California because I don't even have my passport. And I was like, Eden, California is in the United States. What are you doing, girl?
I always use my passport at the airport, so I just thought you needed it. I thought they changed some laws or something. Must have passport, which I don't know if my passport expires this December or if it expired last December. I think it was December 2019, but I can't find it, so I still don't know. Anyhow.
You can come to California still.
Yes. Thanks, Joelle.
You're welcome. I'm like really smart.
Dropping that knowledge upon me. And I've just been trying on a ton of clothes. Like all of my last YouTube videos are me trying on clothes because I'm going to California and I'm going to an event. So I want to look really snazzy. Trying on swimwear because Joelle and I may or may not be doing a swim photo shoot. Yes. But it's a secret. So
yes, so don't tell anyone.
Yeah, except for the 1,000 people listening. Which, speaking of swimsuits.
Yes.
Did you see those hot-ass pictures of Hunter McGrady in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition?
Yes, I saw them today.
Oh, my
she
deliciousness.
Looks really good.
Yes. And those thighs saved my life.
Thick thighs save lives. Yeah, she looks so good. And it's like, it's so refreshing to see somebody who looks more like us than the normal Sports Illustrated model. Cool, you guys are hot too, but it's just been the same body type for decades or however long Sports Illustrated has been around. So it's been really great seeing like different body types. You know?
Yeah, and I think it's the third year. First year was Ashley Graham, Hunter McGrady, and a couple other ladies.
Kate, what's her name? Kate Upton? No,
I don't
but she's
know.
Not even really. She's like something. Busty, but I feel like people consider her plus size.
But yeah, third year with plus size models, and you know, shout out to Sports Illustrated because they get a lot of backlash every year about promoting obesity and all of this stuff. And after the first year, they could have just been like, nope, okay. But this is the third year, and the swimsuits keep getting hotter, the models keep looking more and more fantastic each year, and it's just so, so nice to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's funny too, talking about the backlash, like, you know, there's guys who comment and are like, oh, what did you say? You told, were telling me earlier, like, what did somebody talk about?
How this was like the last straw with Sports Illustrated, like we're going downhill as a society when like the most prestigious magazine allows us whales in there.
First of all, whales are my favorite animal. Second of all, I'm sure you want to stick your dick in.
Someone's like, these are not mermaids. These are manatees.
Okay, manatees are literally mermaids. That's why mermaids exist, because sailors saw manatees and they thought they looked like women. So, fuck you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Anyway, also, I said like a crude comment that you want to stick your dick in. Sorry, that was like really rude. But all I'm trying to say is like, I hate guys who like are so like, oh my God, fat, being fat is horrible. Being fat is unhealthy. We shouldn't be fat. And like, I, sorry, some of those guys I know damn well have like slept with fat women or like want to sleep with fat women. Not saying it's like all about like sex, cause it's not, but I'm just saying it's like so hypocritical. Cause like you, they only want us like in certain ways. They don't want us to have power. They don't want us to feel confident. They want us to stay in our place. They want us to be sad that we're fat, and they want us to like, they want us. Okay. Cause they're so disgusting and horrible. Nobody wants them. So they want like really insecure women. So that's why they're like so mad.
Yeah. And I feel like a few weeks ago, someone commented on Chub Club under our fat vegans are beautiful or mm-hmm. fat bodies are beautiful post. And they're like, not to me or not to most men or something. Yeah.
Like I give a shit about what most men think.
Oh, I tore into him.
Yeah. But I saw that.
Yeah.
If you guys ever see like sassy comments in the Chub Club, 10 out of 10 times it's Eden, because like, I don't know. I just don't want to deal with it, you know, because I'm just like, whatever. And Eden is like, oh, I'm going to tell them what's up.
Yeah. And it's actually a lot of fun because I don't really get to do it on YouTube. Because on YouTube, if I do it, like my subscribers join in and then it's like, for some, I don't like it to be a bully party in my comments. Like, mm-hmm. I want to say what I have to say, but also I don't want to start a thread. But Chub Club's still in the phase where I can pop off and it's not going to
yeah
be seen by, like, a ton of people.
Yeah.
So I have a good time over there.
Totally. It is so funny. It's so stupid. Like, how many guys, well, I say guys, but they're, like, children who comment, who will say stuff like that. They'll be, like, somebody commented on something I did on my personal account on the Bopo Vegan, and they, I don't know, they just said something about like, you're not getting any dick, don't worry, or something like that. And I was just like, why is that like my worth? And also I am right. But anyways,
jokes on you buddy.
But I went off track there a little bit. So going back to like the Sports Illustrated stuff, it's just so amazing seeing like so much plus size representation in the media. And I know that last season we talked about Shrill, and we talked a little bit more about plus size representation on screen, you know, on television and in movies. And it kind of got me thinking about like music, because like things have changed a lot in music too, not just you know, just in all media. So like we have Lizzo, who exists, thank freaking God.
Yes.
Speaking of thank God and Lizzo, it was so funny. I said something like I always say the Serenity Prayer, and the other day my boyfriend replaced the part where it says God with Lizzo, and I just thought it was so funny. She is a God, dude. But anyways, it's just so like, when her album dropped, you know, a month or two ago, I literally was crying because she was trending on Twitter. Her album cover is fire. Her songs are amazing. She just glows, and she's like 100% confident. She's unapologetically herself. You know, she's not trying to like subscribe to labels. She's just like, I'm here and you can deal with me.
Yeah.
However you want. I don't give a shit. And it's just like, I wish that I had that when I was little. I wish I had Lizzo. You know, when I was little, I had Lindsay Lohan and Hilary Duff as my like fat icons. They're not even fat. Like, I just feel like how the media, like in magazines that I read, like portrayed them, they were like the healthy size, AKA like not the skinny ones, but they were so skinny. They're probably like size 2, you know? Even like later, not being a kid, but like Mindy, maybe I already talked about this, I don't know, but like Mindy Kaling is like size like 8 or something. And she's always looked at as being like a bigger girl, which is like so crazy too. But I don't know. Where am I going with this? Do you have any thoughts?
While Joelle has landed in outer space, no.
I'm literally sitting here with an ET plushie. So I think I'm feeling a little alien today.
Yeah, so back to Lizzo, like her Rolling Stone cover was phenomenal
and
gorgeous, and I absolutely loved it. She was on another magazine recently too. I can't think of the name of it, with all the pink and the tutus.
Oh, remember. Shit, what was it? It wasn't Paper, was it? I don't know.
Maybe. Paper popped into my head initially, but then I was like, maybe that's not right. I don't know. But she's definitely dominating, and I follow this yoga girl. You know, everything always goes back to, like, yoga for me, but she went to the Lizzo concert in Denver, and she was, like, doing the stories and everything, but then the next day, she kind of did this long story as, like, an overview, and she goes, kind of similar to Joelle, like, I wish I had this when I was younger, but she goes, when I was there, I just started crying, because I had this, like, weird realization that, like, she's a bigger girl. All of her dancers are bigger girls, and they were just up there moving and singing and dancing for hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fat people are always portrayed as, like, lazy and sloth-like, and you overeat and you don't care about yourself and you can't follow your dreams and all of this stuff. And she's a yoga teacher, so she's like, I mean, I'm following my dreams in all, in a way, but I just love seeing, like, bigger bodies up there moving and killing it. And it was, like, one of the most empowering experiences I've ever had at a concert, and I'm 30-something years old.
Wow. Yeah, no, I'm looking at her Instagram right now. It's Essence is the cover you're talking about with the tutus.
Oh, I should know that. I'm black.
It's okay. You don't have to know everything on the spot all the time. I hate that, though, when you, like, really want to think of something and you're like, damn it, I sound stupid. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to see her in concert because I feel the same way. Like, just, like, seeing her, I'm just like, oh, my God, I love you. I wish I was you. I wish I had you when I was younger.
It was sold out so fast, or else I would have gotten tickets. Mm-hmm. And I remember Lizzo coming to, was it, it wasn't South by Southwest. I think it was ACL. And she, a lot of my gay friends here, my gay guy friends, they knew who she was way before I did. Mm-hmm. And I remember my friend Marco coming over to my computer and being like, Lizzo's performing. And I was like, who's that? And it had to be probably close to 4 or 5 years ago before mm-hmm. she, like, blew up.
Yeah.
And he showed me her, and she had on, like, this bodysuit, and she was, like, shaking her. She was doing her Lizzo thing. Mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, my gosh, cool. And he's like, are you coming? And I didn't have, I feel, I don't know. I must not have had ACL tickets that year. But that was, like, the first time I saw Lizzo, and I was like, yeah, big girls are out here, like, doing this. This is amazing. I never would have seen this when I was younger because it was all, like, Britney, Christina, and Jessica Simpson was fat. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, like, Jessica Simpson, the fat one. What the fuck?
Yeah, she was the fat one. And, like, Britney and Christina were so small. And, like, before Lizzo, the only, like, there was Missy Elliott. We talked about that a little bit. And Missy Elliott was always, like, dancing and moving and was such an amazing artist. Yeah. But outside of that, there weren't really many big artists until, like, Adele again.
Yeah. And, like, even with Missy Elliott, it was so different. I mean, I guess this is kind of really my opinion and just how I remember it. So people might have remembered it in a different way based on your experiences and growing up. But, like, as much as everyone loved her and she's very successful, she was, I feel like she was regarded in a different light than Britney or whoever, you know. It was like she was like the tomboy. Almost, like, because she was like the fat, powerful black woman, she wasn't somebody that, like, was seen
sexy
in a sexy way. Which is like, have you heard her lyrics? Like, girl was getting it on. But, like,
I felt the same way, but I just didn't want to be like, oh, you have to be sexy. Like, if you're, and maybe that was just her style, but
yeah, you don't, you definitely don't have to be. I hope I'm not coming off in this entire podcast things that I've said. Yeah. You definitely don't have to be. That's not important. And I think it's necessary to have people out there from every walk of life and whatever angle they want to go for. But it's just, we do live in an amazing time now where, like, I'm shipping Shawn Mendes and Lizzo. I mean, I ship it. I don't know. What do you think? I've been seeing lots of pictures of them together. He always posts about her. Oh my god. But, like, that seems,
I want to ship me and Lizzo.
Okay, I ship you and Lizzo too.
Thank you.
Power couple of the century.
Me, Lizzo, and who are we just talking about? Swimsuits.
Oh, why do you forget her name already? Something Mick. Hunter.
Oh, I ship me, Lizzo, and Hunter McGrady. We're going to be a throuple.
Oh, my God. I was going to say Hunty.
Hunty McGrady.
Hunty McGrady.
We're going to be a throuple.
I ship three. That.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's just like, it's kind of crazy because obviously there's still a lot of growing that we need to do as far as representation. Like, you know, because obviously Lizzo has a lot of critics about how she looks and how she presents herself as well. But like in 1999 or 2000 or whenever, like she didn't have, like someone like her wouldn't have been able to be doing what she's doing. Yeah, yeah. She wouldn't be able to be doing what she's doing. So I just like feel so grateful that we're here and we're in 2019 and like finally somebody like her is able to be up there and is being celebrated the way that she deserves to be. So actually, really quick, speaking of thruples, have you guys seen that show that's like, there's two of them and I get them confused because one is UK and one is the US, but it's like How Far Is Tattoo Far or Just Tattoo of Us?
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh my God. Really quick digression. The concept is that you bring a friend, like two best friends or two cousins or siblings or whoever, they come in and they give each other tattoos. They design tattoos for each other, but they don't get to see it until it's done.
Oh.
This girl, oh my God, you guys have to look this up on YouTube. This girl brought in her best friend and the tattoo she tattooed on her best friend was a threesome. And it was like her, it was like both of them, both the girls. And it was like disgusting looking because like it was on her chest and it was huge. And it was them spitting, both of them were spitting into a naked guy's mouth who was on his knees. And it, and then there was script on it that said thruple or nah. And the girl was so mad. And then the other girl was like, I just wanted to ask you if you wanted to be in a thruple. And that's why I put this on you. Anyways, crazy, crazy, crazy. That's not what I was going to say. But we actually, I'll mention briefly that me and Eden recorded a podcast that actually ended up getting deleted. And we both kind of talked about our experiences feeling in between. Because as you guys know, I talk a lot about feeling like I'm in between being fat and in between being skinny. And we were talking about our sexuality and feeling that we both feel a little bit in between. We both feel in between kind of being straight and being gay and like just talking about being queer and how it's like a spectrum. So I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about an experience that I had. Well, before I get into the experience, Eden, do you want to say anything about you? Come out right now on the spot.
Eden has drowned in the lady pool.
You drowned in it?
Yeah, not just dabbled. Wow. Like full blown swim and sink. No, I'm kidding. I didn't sink. I guess most people don't know that because I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Most people
don't. I have to bring it up from time to time, especially like on YouTube and things. People just assume I'm straight, but I am not. I am the gay.
Yeah. Yeah, Eden and I are both don't identify as straight. Like when I talk about like how I identify, I usually just say like I'm not straight or I say I'm queer or I say I'm bi, but I don't really like resonate with that very much.
Me either. Yuck.
What?
I mean, not yuck. If you identify as bi, cool. But I just don't like it because people see it as very, like, experimental mm-hmm. or polyamorous.
Mm-hmm. Like, neither of those things are bad. I think it's just...
No.
Yeah.
So, I don't identify as bi because people see it either as Jesus, Nicole!
Please keep this in. Oh, my God.
Lord. So, I don't... Did you hear it?
Is she okay?
She's fine. She's just itching her throat because water goes down the wrong way. So, I don't identify as bi because people either see it as experimental or polyamorous, which neither of those things are bad. But that's not what bisexual is. Like, I just get so tired of being like, oh, I'm bi. Well, this was when I was much younger. And people will be like, well, does your boyfriend care if you have a girlfriend? And I'm like, yeah, because that would be cheating.
Yeah.
Like, we're not in an open relationship. Like, it doesn't mean you have to have both at one time, mm-hmm. you know? So,
yeah,
that's why I don't use bi. I just kind of use the umbrella gay. And my little sister does as well. She used to use pan, but now she just says gay as well. And that's fine to us.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, so many different people in the LGBTQIA community, like, identify or choose not to identify with so many different things. And it's kind of, I like how fluid it is. People use, like, you use gay as an umbrella term. A lot of people do that. Some people use it as just, like, a gay man. Like, that's the only term. But I think that, yeah, it's interesting how people identify differently. And it changes every day for me. I don't know. But, like, yeah, like, I've dated women in the past. I'm very privileged in a way, kind of going back to how I feel like I'm in between, is because I'm very privileged because I've been with a guy for the past over 6 years. So, people don't know, like, I have this straight privilege, even though I'm not straight. And I've had a lot of adversity as far as, like, my sexuality goes. I've had a lot of that in the past, you know. I was, like, low-key bullied growing up. I didn't come out till I was a freshman in college, like, the year that everybody decides to come out. But
late bloomer.
Like, I didn't come out.
I was, like, 12.
You were 12?
I was in middle school.
I guess I'm not surprised because you're just, like, so unapologetically you, so that's great.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, even before I came out, people have always made fun of me and called me a dyke and a lesbian, like, all in, like, negative ways, because I was always kind of like a tomboy, you know. And kind of in the podcast that got deleted, one of the main questions I had was, like, sometimes I feel like I really want to reclaim, specifically I want to reclaim the word dyke, but I don't think it's for me because I'm an in-betweeny as far as, like, sexualities go, because I have this, like, straight privilege, even though I'm not straight. And just before I kind of elaborate into that question, like, one experience that was really significant that I had in high school, I was walking home one night from my friend's house and somebody slowly in, like, a car was slowing down. And they were saying my name and I couldn't see who it was because it was dark and they were throwing things at me. Flash forward, like, a week or two later, I sleep over at my friend's house and I wake up and my car was graffitied. People had what they wrote on it. They said, Joelle is a fat dyke, double whammy, fat and a dyke. They also wrote, Joelle can suck my dick. They also wrote, Joelle is a FAG. They wrote all sorts of stuff on my car that was, like, legit, like, hate, legit hate crime on my car. And I put it together that it was the same people who had been following me. And, like, you know, obviously that really hurt and, like, whatever. So I feel like I have had these words used against me. And I do identify with them in a way because I've, like, dated women and I mean, without getting, like, too personal and too weird, because this could be, like, a whole podcast, but, like, I honestly, like, men are gross. Like, I love my boyfriend, but, like, I don't know. I just, like, gravitate towards women more. And it's just, like, kind of a weird thing that I'm, like, I almost identify more as, like, gay or, you know, whatever, but I'm, like, with a guy, so that's weird. But it's just hard because sometimes I'm like, I want to reclaim the word dyke and I want to reclaim it. And even right now, as I'm doing this podcast, I feel uncomfortable that I'm saying it because I know that there are people out there who don't have the same privilege as I do. And maybe it's not okay that I'm saying it so flippantly and calling myself that when I'm out here holding hands with a dude. I don't know. I don't really have an answer. It's just a conversation that Eden and I have had and I wanted to, like, bring to a wider audience, and just feeling this in-betweenness in the same way that I feel like it's hard for me to reclaim the word fat or claim the word fat when I'm not that fat. But I'm not skinny, and people, I've faced adversity as far as that too. So it's just like a weird place to be.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's my TED Talk.
And yeah, we want to hear what you guys kind of think about, not necessarily like sexuality, but how you feel about reclaiming different words when you feel like you identify with it, but maybe from an outside perspective, someone else wouldn't agree.
Yeah,
I guess.
And like, I'm not just like, oh, I want to use this word because I want to, and here's an example of why. It's not like that. It's like a deep rooted thing that I've had all my life. It's been used as a weapon against me. It's been used as a weapon to make me feel bad about myself. Mm-hmm. And it feels empowering to take it back and be like, yeah, I'm a fat dyke. You were right. Oh, the plot twist. I didn't even say the plot twist of that story. I found out who did it. It was other people, other classmates of mine in high school who did it to me. And a few years after that happened to my car, the guy who did it came out as gay.
Wow. So projection, internalized hate.
Yeah, that was a life lesson for me for a lot of reasons, but also the hurting hurt. People who hurt you, people commenting on your Instagram telling you that you're fat and ugly, they're probably uglier than you. That was not very nice, but it's just like people who are going through a lot of pain, that's what they know, and they feel bad about themselves, so they want you to feel bad about yourself because, you know, those kids, they saw me like not giving a shit about what I wore and like not wearing makeup and having a bunch of pictures of Emma Watson like all over my binder and shit. Those people were like, damn, yeah, I wasn't out, but like a lot of people like just knew. You know, they were upset that it didn't seem like I cared, and they wanted to be that way too, so they wanted to take me down. Didn't work, bitch. Also, the word bitch, maybe I shouldn't be using that.
Yeah, Nicole's really offended.
Oh, Nicole, I'm sorry.
Now that you've attended Joelle's TED Talk, we got a message that we wanted to talk just a little bit about. And it says, hi, I have a question. As a vegan, do you think it's ethical to put your pets down if they are suffering? I was thinking about this lately, and I was like, I don't want to take my pet's life away because it's not his choice. And I was just thinking, what if I was dying of cancer and stuff? I think I would want help dying? ? Sorry if this is kind of a dark question, but I'm not sure what I think is ethical. What are your thoughts? ?
It's so sad. It's such a sad topic. I'll just kind of dive into it. In my opinion, I think it's ethical to make a choice, for your animal, because I think we talked about this briefly in the previous podcast, or personally, I don't remember. Like, there's those dogs who like go on for way too long and they're like suffering, and like their doggy parents, you know, their guardians want them to keep living, so they put them on medication, they put them through so many surgeries, and like, of course that makes sense. Like, I'm getting emotional thinking about when the time comes for Gertie, which hopefully won't be a long time from now. But like, I think I would, I understand why people want to hold on and they want their dogs to live forever, but you have to think of a quality of life, right? You know, you want your dog to live because you want them to be with you, obviously, but you don't want them to suffer. So, speaking of that, my dogs are barking. Can you hear them? You know, I think that the way that we have animals like as our family members, we want to care for them as we would a family member. And although we don't euthanize our family members, I think the ethical choice is to euthanize your animal when the time comes instead of letting them just suffer and wilt away. I think that's cruel. You need to make the choice, you know, when you know the time is right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with that. And I think that the line of suffering is different for each pet owner. I think about it a lot because Nicole's 12. She's definitely a senior chihuahua, and she's a small dog. She could live a good few more years. But every time that I take her to the vet and we have to have another surgery, I kind of have to evaluate what's going to be my point where I say no. Mm-hmm. Like, what I think that she can live with, what, like, if it's smart to put her through certain recoveries, if something's not hurting her, but a vet would, like, she has a little lump on her chest. It's been there for 2 years. It hasn't grown or anything. A vet wants to remove it. But I'm not going to get it removed because it doesn't hurt her. It's not cancerous because none of her other lumps have been, not saying that that means this one isn't, but the vet said since it hasn't grown in 2 years that more than likely it's not. Mm-hmm. That's how she sleeps. She sleeps on her chest. I don't want to have to put her through another surgery with recovery when I know she has a heart murmur. And I'm sure it'll get to a point where I'll have to make the choice to put my little girl down. Yeah. And I don't want it to be like when we've had some other pets where we did like a lot of blood transfusions, and in the blood transfusions we were doing, we're only giving her like 7 days at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And it was costing thousands and thousands of dollars, and she was getting really thin, and really, she was really sick. She wasn't really able to eat and stuff, and it was just like, we were doing it for my mom, you know, because that was her baby. Mm-hmm. And I don't want Nicole to get like thin and sick and stuff. And like, I'm giving her CBD now because she has beginning stages of cataracts. But when we were at the vet last time, there was a schnauzer that had diabetes, and I guess it was causing some swelling near her brain. And it was putting her eyes, I guess it was something between her eyes and her brain that was swelling. And to relieve the pressure, they had to remove her eyes.
Oof.
And I was thinking, okay, maybe that's a younger dog, so the owner made the call to do that. But if it were Nicole, I don't know that I would do that because she's already lived 12 years with sight.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that would be like for her to all of a sudden not have her sight. And it's not like a mm-hmm. gradual thing like having cataracts, but like her eyes actually being gone.
That's
after
stressful.
12 years of being able to see and, you know, going outside and like knowing what it's like. I don't know that I would be able to do that to Nicole, and that it would be the quality of life that she would want. Not that I can know 100%, but I don't think that that would be what she would want.
Yeah, that makes me so sad to think about.
I know.
It's really sad. Just think about how scary that is. Like, you know, I've
had... To be able to see one day and then the next day not be able to see.
Yeah. And not really, like, being able to communicate, like...
What's happening?
What's happening? Tell me. Like, not really understanding. Like, because, yeah, we have special connections with our animals and we communicate with them in certain ways, but you can't hold them and say, hey, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't understand really.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Yeah. Cause like I've had a lot of really sad things happen, like a lot of really sad deaths with dogs, over my lifetime. And the first time I experienced it, I was 7. Oh, wow. This is a sad story. So my neighbor got murdered when I was 7. And he was traveling out of state and he got murdered. Someone hijacked. He was in an RV with his German Shepherd, who I loved. I would go over to his house every day and pet his German Shepherd. And he was traveling with her, and they were in an RV, and somebody hijacked their RV and kicked him out and ran him over and killed him. And he was old. He was an old man. It was very sad. Anyways, his dog miraculously, like, traveled back to his home by herself. And we ended up adopting the dog because I had such like a special connection, and like, just as far as everything that worked out, we ended up adopting her, but she was already old. We only had her for maybe a month. Because at one point I was laying down with her and she was like having a lot of trouble breathing, and I just started crying and I told my mom like, oh my God, she's having trouble breathing, blah, blah, blah. We took her to the vet because she couldn't even walk. We had to like, she was like a big German Shepherd. We had to like carry her and we had to put her down. And it's just one of those things that, it's sad. It's really, really sad, but it's a fact of life when you have, when you make, you know, dogs, you're part of your family, dogs or cats, part of your family. And it's like a, I think it's an ethical thing to do to not like have them keep suffering. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the gray areas. Like, it's going to be a different answer for each person. Like, at what point they're like, oh, this is too much. At what point are you doing it just for you because you don't want to deal with the grief of losing a pet? Yeah. I mean, some people will go above and beyond and care for their pet. I mean, obviously, we all care for our pets, but, like, keep doing surgeries and all these things. But, like, recovery's hard on animals' bodies, and it's just a lot. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, I guess it's like individual, but I just, it's hard to like say this, but it's like, I try to put myself in my dog's shoes. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think it is ethical to euthanize your pet if it's suffering.
Yeah. And
especially if it's suffering.
Like, the bottom line with this like topic is that like, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. Like I get the question of like, I don't know, that's not my choice to make, but you know,
animals don't have critical thinking skills.
I don't know if I agree with that.
They not skill enough to know like if they're hurt really what's happening. Like you said, we can't have a conversation with our animal and be like, okay, this is what's getting ready to go down.
Yeah, I don't think
they can't make those decisions for themselves. And yeah. When you purchase a pet, like Joelle was saying, maybe two or three podcasts, when you purchase a pet, that's a lifelong commitment you've made, and that's to care for your pet and to make the best decisions for your pet, even when it comes down to the end, making sure that they, you know, have the dignity and that mm-hmm. they don't have to like suffer. And Joelle and I differ on this because I don't think animals have souls. I don't think that they really have critical thinking skills. I mm-hmm. think that they have animalistic instincts, fight or flight. I think they know how to preserve their life, but I don't think that they can think critically. But yeah.
Well, even regardless of that, like we obviously disagree on that, but it's not necessarily a matter of that. It's a matter of like, they can't communicate it to us. Right. So for whatever reason, we can't communicate. And if you're keeping your dog alive and they're suffering and you, I get it. I totally get it. And you don't want to say bye to them. It's not about you. It's about them. And it kind of goes back to that other podcast too. When you're trying to buy a dog and you want to have a designer dog, like, okay, it's not about you and like the selfish cosmetic things you want your dog to look like. It's about the dog and like what's best for them. So that's why you should like adopt or whatever, but that's a whole nother thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's sad, but you got to do it. Wow. Yeah. What a fucking bummer.
Start with a bummer, end with a bummer.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. Let me just say that this is not
the bummer cast.
What?
The bummer cast.
This is not the bummer cast. This is not indicative of season three. I think it's good that we get into topics. I think we're getting into like deeper topics instead of just like, oh my God, what kind of vegan makeup do you like? Which that's not our podcast, but you know, I think it's good that we're getting into deeper topics and we're talking about these things, but we definitely are body positive. We're positive people. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that, but I also hope you don't like stop listening and think that we're just negative all the time.
I think people know that we have the ebbs and the flows.
Yeah, we are well-rounded mm-hmm. people. You know.
Okay, I've had enough podcasting, guys. We have to go. It's the end.
I'm hungry.
It's the end of season three, episode one, y'all.
Yeah, thank you so much for sticking around. If it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. So mm-hmm. thank you.
Yeah. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Come back. Oh, you're not going to do That's All, Folks?
No, I decided to keep it Texas true today.
All right. I like that. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. We look forward to many more episodes with you this season, and have a wonderful week.
Yep. Don't mess with Texas. Bye.
Bye. I know you're really sad right now because the episode's over, but hey, the fun doesn't have to end here. Go give the Vegan Chub Club a follow on Instagram at the Vegan Chub Club, or head over to our Twitter, send us a tweet at Vegan Chub Club. Have any questions you want us to answer on the podcast? Maybe a story you want to share with us, or maybe you just want to say hi. Why don't you go ahead and send us an email at theveganchubclub@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.